Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and possibly Andrew Farley coming in just a little bit later. My name is Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we would love to hear from you. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. So if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss with us, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today's a fairly special day in the Jewish calendar.
Yes.
In Merriam-Webster, the online dictionary, they always have a word for the day, and they know their calendars, and the word for the day is atone, and that word means to make amends for, as far as our English word is concerned. But it is a very important word as far as the Bible is concerned. So today is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. All Jewish people are celebrating that. And Leviticus 16 really describes what happened on that particular day. So the high priest and Aaron would have been the first of these. He entered into the most holy of holies. He first took blood to make amends for his own sins, to cover his own sins. And then he took blood to represent the people, and he poured that out on the mercy seat. And God was to meet with the high priest there on that at that mercy seat. So there's the lid. That is described as the mercy seat, and the word for atonement is used for that. And then there's the verb to atone, and that's what the blood did. It atoned. It covered our sins. Now, that was all a foreshadowing. I mean, that wasn't the real thing, folks.
Right, exactly.
That was a foreshadowing of what Christ was going to do when he offered his body as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. And boy, if we will get this right, our lives will just start to flourish in this grace that's been poured out on us in Christ Jesus. So there's this new covenant, and that's the covenant that we live in today. And this new covenant has four promises. And I see these four promises almost like a silo divided into four sections. And the bottom of it is this promise of forgiveness. That where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin, and the promise that God is going to remember our sins no more. That is the good news of this gospel. That is the good news of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And our lives in this new covenant sit upon that promise and flow out of that promise. And so it just kind of goes up the chain. We get to know God. We see in this shed blood a little bit of what God is like, that he is love. And through this shed blood, we're made a part of the people of God. We belong. We're secure. And then out of that comes this internal motivation given to us by the Holy Spirit that just erupts in and through us out there into the world. So that's the new covenant that which we live in.
Yeah.
And Yom Kippur was a foreshadowing of that foundational promise, that foundational truth in which God remembers our sins no more. So the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. That was a replica of what Jesus was going to enter into for you and me. And the writer of Hebrews really describes that in some detail in Hebrews chapter 9. He said, but when Christ appeared as a high priest, he's already talked about what the high priest under the Levitical system was to do. And then he compares that to Christ. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, the one not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, to purify our consciences from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. So what is happening today in Judaism was a foreshadowing of what we have in Christ Jesus. When he offered his blood, he only offered it once, and his blood took away our sins, removed them, sent them as far as the east is from the west from us, and it causes him to remember our sins no more.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not good news, I don't know what good news is.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a truth that we need to build our lives upon. Andrew, welcome. Glad you're here and glad you can help us talk about this great great sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf.
Yeah, you know, this is one of my favorite topics. I mean, you look at how Jesus's blood has taken away our sins, and we're so used to an apology-based system. We're so accustomed to having to get right with people and keep the peace and walking on eggshells and trying to stay right and get right again and stay right and ride in that roller coaster of relationship with other people. And, you know, God's not like that. And it's hard for us to get used to that, but God is not like that. His ways are not our ways. So, you know, what we see in the new covenant, guys, is the invitation to enjoy a rock solid stability and a consistency of our closeness to God through the blood of Jesus. It's not about us trying to get right and stay right and get close and stay close, but we have to wrap our minds around God's blood economy and really let the blood of Jesus take center stage. When we do, then things start to make a lot of sense. I mean, you know, one side of this is we don't have to ask for forgiveness over and over and over. We don't have to beg and plead and hope and wait for God to swoop down out of heaven and forgive us one more time for yet another sin today and another sin an hour from now. And, you know, we don't have to do that begging and pleading. That's our side of it that we get to celebrate, that we can jump off of that train and we can relax with God, rest in Christ. The other side of this is God's side, and that means that he is always with us. He is always in us. His presence is never revoked. And, you know, what we're really saying in all of this is let's honor Jesus. I mean, you know, if Jesus hung on a cross with blood all over him for our sakes, let's honor that. And if it doesn't need to be repeated because it worked the first time, let's honor that. So, you know, it's healthy for us to turn away from sin and say no to sin and reject sin and flee from temptation. All of that is just common sense Christianity 101. But, you know, there's a deeper truth here. Not only do we turn away from sin, but we get to thank God that we are totally forgiven people because of this new covenant and because of the blood of Jesus that we get to honor every single day.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Open lines, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. And friends, if you enjoy and if you're benefiting from what you hear every day on Basic Gospel, we would love to have your support. We need your support. We need your prayers to continue to get this good news out. Our byline is you know, hearing, believing, and living in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose of Basic Gospel. We want to get this message out to everybody that we possibly can by every means possible. So if you can help us today, we would love for you to go online to basicgospel.net, and you can also call 844-322-2742. That's kind of the universal on-air line that you can call anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742. And in Canada, you can give directly at basicgospel.net/Canada. And we thank you for standing with us this month of September. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, and we had this call off hours. And a little warning here, we had some background in the noise, so just ignore that and listen to the question.
Hi, my question is just that I would like to understand more about the Lord's forgiveness if a person has struggled with a besetting sin or a long-term sin that they continue to go back into, having a real struggle trying not to go back into an old lifestyle. or some mention in the Word about not being able to be forgiven after so much willful sinning. I'd love to hear someone answer that or speak to that. Thank you.
Well, boy, that's a question that just really ties into, you know, what this day, yes, as far as Yom Kippur, foreshadows in the person of Christ. And I know if you will listen later today, you will get some answers that will really put you on solid footing. The fact that Christ has taken away all of your sins. The wages of sin is death. Christ died. So that wage has been paid. And now you just get to bask in the grace of God that has been poured out on you in Christ Jesus. So you have a brand new life, and in that life, God chooses to remember your sins no more. That's a part of this new covenant. So that's where we have to start, isn't it? We have to learn to rest in the finished work of Christ Jesus. Now, she talked about, you know, there's that one sin I keep going back to. It's a habit. I struggle with it. That's kind of a different topic than forgiveness, isn't it?
It is, and yet they're connected. You know, you think about how we return to a sin over and over and over again, and then we start to, you know, label ourselves because of that sin, categorize ourselves because of that sin. We become consumed with it. We're examining our performance. We're sort of measuring ourselves and determining what God might think of us. Maybe we fall short. Maybe we don't measure up. Maybe he's disappointed, ticked off at us. And, you know, I think forgiveness does play into this, because if you're caught in that pattern of being depressed and debilitated because of your repeat performance, so to speak, well, you know, the forgiveness of God does speak to that. The new covenant does speak to that, that you are not defined by your struggle. You're not defined by shame. You're not defined by guilt. You're not defined by your track record. So what the forgiveness of God does is it allows us to see our identity is right now, and it's not related to what we've done, but who we're in. So I am who I am because of who I'm in. I am who I am because I got that way by birth, by new birth. So, you know, the forgiveness really clears the deck for me to relate to God and realize that he's not riding that roller coaster of emotion about me. He's not wringing his hands up in heaven. He doesn't have that furrowed brow, that scold on his face. I'm forgiven, and he loves me. And then I get over there to Titus chapter 2, and I realize, wait a minute, this is not just for when I fall and when I fail, but the grace of God here is actually causing me to feel clean and close and recognize who I am, that I'm righteous, that I'm holy, that I'm blameless, that I've got a fresh start today and every day. And I'm not defined by my past, so that doesn't have to be my destiny. And the grace of God starts teaching me to say no to sin and to say yes to dependency on Jesus. So, you know, I think that's part of it, guys. And then the last part I would say here is just to know, hey, I have a new heart, and sin is not going to work for me. I have believed the lie that I want to sin. I've believed the lie that I want to sin 500 times and 1,000 times, but the truth is I don't really want to do this. I'm not made for this. I've got a new nature. I've got a new heart. I'm dead to sin and alive to God. And, you know, that doesn't mean it's a magic wand and I'm going to stop all the time and have perfect performance going forward, but it does mean that I start believing the truth about my heart and about my nature and about who I am in Christ.
Well, thank you, Andrew. And we also, she had one last little part of it that I think we really need to address as well. She's asking about, is there a place in the Word of God that if you continue to sin willfully, then you have basically out-sinned the grace of God? And I think the passage that she's referring to is Hebrews 10:26. And it reads this: for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Now, what this passage is talking about is not these sinful acts that we may engage in, whether it's sexual immorality, whether it's slander, whether it's false witness or any of those things. It's not those deeds. It's an underlying issue. The writer of Hebrews was offering up Christ and saying his sacrifice was sufficient. His blood has taken away sins once and for all. Now, you either choose to rest in that or you go back to your sacrificial system. And that willful sin was the sin of rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and going back to the sacrificial system. That's what he's talking about. Now, if you're going to reject the sacrifice of Christ, then there's no longer a sacrifice that you can depend upon. I mean, how much better can you get than the sacrifice of the very Son of God who offered up his blood that was more precious than gold and silver to redeem us, to forgive us, to reconcile us, to liberate our hearts and to cleanse our consciences. So if you're not going to rest in the sacrifice of Christ, then there's just not another sacrifice that's going to come along that's going to be better than that. So you can't out-sin the grace of God. Grace is in a limitless supply. It will never ever dry up. And so you may can sin seven times or seven times 70 or just the biggest number that you can think of.
Blow it up.
And it doesn't reach the limits of God's grace as far as you're concerned. So that's a fear that you're dealing with, the fear that you've out-sinned the grace of God, a fear that you have crossed a line and you are beyond the reach of God's forgiveness. And that is an impossibility. You cannot be beyond the reach of God's forgiveness. And if you're in Christ, you already have that forgiveness. And that's where you need to really stop and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. And out of that is going to flow victory. So if you learn to rest in the finished work of Christ, if you learn to give thanks each and every day for what the shed blood of Jesus has accomplished for you, then out of that place of rest will flow victory and just this growth in grace like you've never, ever experienced before.
Yeah. Richard, your thoughts?
Well, this is one of those tragic areas that all of us get trapped in from time to time, and that's looking at behavior instead of at Jesus. The minute I look at behavior, I realize I fall short. And that counts the good stuff, too.
Yeah.
Even the best things I do, if I'm doing them in my own strength, are sinful. So we've got to learn to quit focusing on behavior and to do what Bob and Andrew have been talking about here and realize the truth of what Jesus has done. I am no longer a sinner because Jesus has renamed me.
Yes.
Therefore, my identity is no longer sinner. Therefore, sinning is an uncomfortable thing. Well, if I'm looking at my behavior, then I'm using my behavior to define myself, to determine my identity. Don't go there. You will lose every time. Let Jesus be the victor, thank him for the victory, and watch his grace in you by the Holy Spirit change your world.
Great thoughts, guys.
Time.
Yeah, great thoughts, guys. It is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me. I'm Bob Davis. 844-322-2742. It's still the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour as we're doing this program. If you're hearing it live, give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, this question and just our subject today is the very reason that we've put our first course up on Basic Gospel University called It Is Finished. Yeah. And it is a course that enables people to work at their own pace, but really to dive deep into what the Word of God says about the sacrifice of Jesus, what he accomplished, and the benefits. You know, one of the great passages in Hebrews 10 is this, and by that will we have been made holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I had a problem. We were unholy people. We were unrighteous. We were sinners by nature. So how is an unholy person going to connect with a holy God? Well, God solved that problem by making us holy. Now, that's what you're going to learn through this course. You're going to come away with a deep confidence in your relationship with Christ and a sense of rest and peace, knowing that you are a forgiven person. And if you're interested in taking a deep dive into the finished work of Jesus Christ, we invite you to go to basicgospel.university. That's basicgospel.university. All the information about this course, It Is Finished, is there. It's $39. It will be the best $39 you will ever spend. It will return a billionfold as far as your relationship with Christ is concerned. And we would love for you to go there and take advantage of this great course entitled It Is Finished.
I went there, and I'm glad I did. It's excellent, excellent teaching with Bob and Richard, friends. We hope you'll take advantage of it. What a question from Michael, who wrote to us from California. As believers, will we go through the Great Tribulation?
Well, that's an interesting question, guys. I think, you know, there's a lot of debate out there about the book of Revelation. And I know that, Richard, you know, this one is dear to your heart in terms of interpreting the book of Revelation and making sure that it's about Jesus the entire time. You know, my personal take, my opinion, is that too many times we try to put a timeline, an exact timeline, on the events in the book of Revelation. And, you know, there have been those who make predictions about this is going to happen and then this will happen and I've got it all figured out. And then, you know, they end up with egg on their face and they have to tweak their predictions and change their mind and alter what they said in order to get it to fit a new perspective. You know, my take on Revelation is that the entire book is about Jesus Christ, and it's about an ongoing battle between good and evil, and the victor is Jesus. He wins. And as far as tribulation, well, I look at the early church and I say they were in a tribulation.
Yeah,
I look
were.
At today, you know, we Christians, many of us, maybe we live in a first world country and we don't realize, but there are many in tribulation. I think of the underground church in Asia. I think of many Christian groups around the world that are persecuted in the Middle East, for example. So tribulation is something that is ongoing. Definitely, we have a literal and physical return of Christ and a rescue and a tribulation that is related there. But, you know, the Christian world has debated this, guys, for 2,000 years. Are we going to show up? Are we going to be rescued in the middle of a great tribulation? Are we going to be rescued at the end of one? Or are we never going to be involved at all in one? And is it going to happen after we escape? You know, I don't get bogged down in trying to predict that. You know, I know that there's a lot of symbolism in the book of Revelation. There's 3.5 years and then another 3.5. And it certainly appears like within that description that we are rescued right in the middle of it. Now, you know, the big picture is Jesus is our rescuer. No matter what you think about times and dates, it's all about Jesus.
Well, and what we're saved from, and then we see this in a couple of places, we're saved from the wrath to come.
Yeah.
Now, that's our promise. That's our assurance. That's our guarantee. That's why we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We've been marked out, covered over by the blood of Christ. Why? Because that blood has taken away our sins once and for all, so we can have confidence in the day of judgment.
Indeed. Well, friends, we want you to keep ever mindful that Basic Gospel is listener financed. We can't do what we do without your ongoing prayers and support, so we covet those. As we close today's program, we ask you to go online to basicgospel.net or to phone 844-322-2742 and make your gift to help us continue to reach out in the name of Jesus Christ to others who need to hear, believe, and live in His love and grace. And when you do, be sure to request your free copy of our excellent resource. It's called Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. Again, basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. In Canada, you can give directly at basicgospel.net/Canada. Remember also that same number is available day and night. If you have a question, something pops into your mind overnight, later this afternoon even, give us a call, record your question, and we'll be glad to address it here at Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.